offense today of that Florida game. Did you see that?
Well, I won't say anything
and
about
what were they wearing?
I won't say anything about the looks, but I'd say they'll probably score about as many points as we did.
Jerry, did you see them?
Yeah, like just because you can put it on doesn't mean that you should wear it. Like that outfit is not appropriate for that body type.
Thank you. And my wife is probably listening right now going, and neither, Tony, were you, is your body type appropriate for that Speedo type thing you had on last night? Let's go back to our phones. Jerry, what? Jerry, you don't really believe I left my phone out there, do you? You think I was trolling for some action?
I feel sorry for those blue jeans that you had on, personally. I mean, you know how you go to the store and over in the laundry section? They have all the detergents and the bleaches and stuff like that. They have the what is it called? Oxy powder. That stuff, and like when nothing else will work, you can sprinkle some of that on, like as a pre-rinse before you start washing. Like I would imagine after your long week you had up there in Pennsylvania, you might want to put some Oxy powder on the butt crack of them jeans before you put them back on next time.
What in the world? You see what you've done to me, Butch Jones?
This show has more than devolved.
No, Tennessee football has more than devolved. That stupid dumbass talked trash to the media, and literally his team has not scored a touchdown.
He was so
since.
Close. Well, tonight he was so close to losing his temper.
What?
And he checked it. Oh.
What did he do?
One of the reporters asked him a question, and he had said like three times at that point already that we lost a very close game to a good football team. They're a good football team. They're a good football team. And one of the media members asked a question, and he asked it in a way that sort of hinted that, are they really that good a football team? And he's like, you don't believe they're a good foot? And he checked himself. I mean, he was ready to just go Snapdragon, but he was very calm today. But he almost, it was like the dam just ready to burst, and he somehow pulled it back.
Yeah, he needs, because, well, he's auditioning for his next job now.
That ain't a good, that's not a, on an SEC level, that's not a good football team.
He's never going to be here. This guy's not going to, this guy doesn't belong on an SEC level either. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, good evening, guys. This is the Mouthpiece.
Hey, PC, you're on with Jerry Colquitt, Eric, the Prophet of Doom, Waddell. And the superstar, and I'm Basilio. Hello.
Sports Parlor South fame. Hey, Ewad, are you on Twitter? I'd like to follow if so.
Truthfully, no. Should be, but
go ahead and
my wife keeps telling me that I need to get on Twitter and become social mediaized.
Yeah, you really do.
But
you'll laugh at this, Eric. When Shart went up there and failed to hire Charlie Week, Tony, you know, talks about going to Cincinnati with y'all sometimes, and he said, hey, you know, we dodged a bullet not getting Charlie Strong. And so I was talking to him, and I said, Tony, good, maybe this guy can really coach. Talking about Lyle, and then he goes, oh, I don't know about that. And, man, my jaw just dropped. And then he told me kind of what you said, and that's prophecy right there, my man.
Yeah, that's one of these times that I truly in my life hoped I was going to be wrong. He left the program up there that I cared about in a mess, and they've never recovered.
Butch Jones left your program in a mess?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And right that, now,
wait a second. No.
Sorry?
Hang on a second. No, he left them, and they won when he left.
Immediately after, but he didn't recruit any offensive linemen. That was
he did the exact same thing he's doing here.
Right. He didn't recruit offensive linemen there. And after
what in
the first
hell
year,
is wrong with him? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And
P3. Wow.
That's no problem. It's to critical mass at this point to where if a change isn't made and somebody's not identified, he'll leave this place close to how Dooley left it. And I'm not saying that. you know, doing something right now is going to mean we're going to turn around and win championships. Unfortunately, the ceiling of Tennessee is 8 wins, probably 7. But to get to 8 wins, I think you need to do something now. Here's the thing. I mean, you got Haslam calling. It's not Curry, right? We all know that. You got Haslam calling the shot. I would trade them, and let's just get Udonis Haslam in here and let him hire the next coach. He played at Florida. He probably hates Tennessee, and he couldn't hire a worse coach.
Hey, at least he could bring the heat. At least he could bring some heat.
Well, he couldn't hire a worse coach for this place, trying to sabotage it in the pilot crooks.
This thing is totally devolved.
These guys are more worried about cheating a hard-working trucker out of a gas rebate.
Hey, let's not get into that. We don't know whether that's true or not. That's got to go to trial now. Come on.
Well, do you think – is there any way we get back to blocking and tackling, as our friend Dewey would say, or is this just over? I mean, I'm talking 8 loss. Tennessee's never had 8 losses. Does this thing get to 8 losses this year?
Jerry, what happens with this season if Butchie Boy stays on the job, which they might just do that? What happens, Jerry?
I think they go 8-4. I hate to be Debbie Downer here, but Tony, yeah. There's enough talent. Tennessee has a lot of talent, Tony.
They really do.
You know, I watch a ton of football, especially getting ready for these scouting reports, and it's not very often where I see there are other teams with more talent than Tennessee.
Jerry, that's the point. We keep losing games. So what are you talking about?
Tony, I had Tennessee down for 8-4 this year. So right now, if you just win the rest of the games that, for me, in my opinion, I thought Tennessee were going to win in the first place, you still hit 8-4.
What are they? What are you talking about? What? Based on what? We cannot score a touchdown with our offense.
But, Tony, at the end of the day, Tennessee's better than Kentucky. They're better than Vanderbilt.
No.
We're better than – no. Better than Arkansas.
No. No, they play LSU, and they're not better than LSU.
I think LSU and Kentucky are better.
Right,
personally.
And that's your fourth loss. So if you win all the other games, but LSU,
no, Jerry, next week's our fourth loss. Next week's our fifth loss, Jerry. So we're going to go at least 7-5.
No, we're 3-3, Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry. It just feels like 4 losses.
Here's what I like about today. I don't even know
our record. I'm so roached.
Guys,
you're really passing it, though, baby. I like it. You can't win.
You can't win.
I really like the push of the offensive line. They dug in and blew South Carolina off the ball. You could tell those guys wanted it. The play calling was phenomenal. I really like the clocking the ball there with 30 seconds left, saving your time. And I like the final sequence. You really put Guarantano into a good position to succeed. I guess you could say that old Bocce's playing 6D checkers, right?
I don't think you're
with, with Curry.
I don't think there's any doubt that Curry and Tennessee's brain trust looked at what just happened and said, you know, that was really terrific.
How could you not be?
I mean, that the push on that offensive line, as you said, the way they were blowing them off the ball, the adjustments on the from the offensive coordinator and the young quarterback in terms of getting the ball in space quickly, not running into the teeth of a nine men in the box. I agree with you, MP.
And you went deep a bunch too.
And you went deep. You just kept.
That was good.
We look like the old AFL. Look like the old Oakland Raiders back in the day. Everything but a left-handed quarterback.
And they got the ball to Callaway and Kelly, which is what you got to do. So, I mean, you know, Chandler got his touches. Yep. It was a tough loss. It was,
It really
was tough.
Al, don't you feel
now,
the same
I'll
way?
Say this, yeah. I'll do this spelling lesson. I was tweeting with Gray Italia, and you realize that we've basically been having the same conversation for 20 years. People forget how bad the end of the former era was. We've not been able to hire a coach since then. a lot of people like to talk about how good Kiffin was that one year. I think he underachieved to go 7-5 with some horrible losses. And then we know what the last two guys are. You realize the high water mark for Tennessee football in the last 10 years is beating a South Carolina team in 2013 that finished fourth in the country. I mean, that was a really good win. That's a win you don't see Tennessee get. I think they were ranked 11th in the AP, so all the fake news can keep that top 10. Tennessee's not beat the top 10 team stat going.
Yeah, that was the one where I was sitting in Section L, and after the game, Jadeveon Clowney told me and the rest of the people sitting around me that we were number one with a specific finger.
That's awesome, dude.
And Richardson, though, I mean, I know he didn't play in the pros, but he body slammed that guy that game. That was pretty funny.
He sure did.
I guess all we got now is, you know, Rick Pitino Barnes and his five stars. And, good gosh, if I could say anything to the fans out there, quit giving this damn place any money. Quit it. See you guys.
Well, that was positive, Jerry.
Yeah, Tony, can we go through some of my game balls?
Yeah, give out some game balls, Jerry. We do this every week. This is kind of random. This has never happened.
I don't do this unless we win the game. But Tony, on defense, especially, man, I got to give a game ball to Nigel Warrior. I'm giving one to Rashawn Golden. I'm giving one to Khalil McKenzie. You know, I was hard on that kid early in the season, and I think a lot of that has to do with what we talked about earlier. Just, I think it was a lot of spite going on, a lot of tension going on between Shoup and Butch Jones. He's put together a couple good games in a row. And also, Colton Jumper, once again, man, people make fun of that kid, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he wasn't the first guy that we were going to put out there, and he's out there due to injury. But, man, Tony, for about three or four games now in a row, his run fits are very good. He's very good on the blitz.
Jerry, are you gigging us right now with these game balls?
Well, things that showed up from a positive standpoint, Tony.
Okay.
Lake, I don't want to not talk about that because, man, Nigel Warrior, he had a couple of plays it might not have shown up in the stats, but a couple of key plays where he was just in the right position on defending the pass, that you can just tell he's growing and anticipating things on the back end. And what about Rashawn Golden? To me, Tony, this is the best defensive player by far we have on this defense. This guy has shown he can play nickelback. He's shown that he can defend the pass. And because they're so doggone hard-headed and they won't play three linebackers when we're supposed to, he's actually shown that he'll stick his head in there and defend the run. He's very good at tackling. So to me, Tony, he's shown he is a multi-dimensional player at the SEC level. And, you know, you got to give praise and thanks to the effort that those guys are putting together on a week-to-week basis, you know, despite what's happening from a record and losses standpoint. And I really like what those guys on defense are doing. I really do.
Jerry, I got a question for you. I agree that a Golden Warrior played very well. Golden led the team in tackles, 10 total tackles, 8 of which were solo. Warrior at strong safety, 9 tackles, 5 of which were solo. 3 of the 4, if you count Abernathy at free safety, 3 of the top 4 tacklers were defensive backs for the Vols, which is never a good sign.
That's a great sign.
My question to you would be the play of Jumper, him getting a game ball when he finished the game with 2 tackles.
Oh, Jerry likes – now let me tell you something about Jerry. They have marches, okay? And maybe you've seen Jerry. There's a group, and they call themselves White Middle Linebackers Lives Matter. And Jerry has been trucked in from time to time, and you'll see him on CNN, MSNBC, they cover him, Fox News, and Jerry, I think your appearance on C-SPAN the other day was excellent on their Washington Journal program. So, Jerry, are you in for Ainge tomorrow on the coaches show? Somebody's wondering. And Why didn't Sam from Two Men in a Truck get one of your game balls? Somebody was wondering on Periscope.
No, I'm not.
Sam might be busy tonight.
Yeah. Sam's busy. Sam just got an emergency phone call to Deep West Knoxville.
But to address Wildcat's question. So, Alex, part of playing linebacker is are you in the right place on these running plays? That's called a run fit. So if you're a gap, okay, based on the defense that they're playing, if your gap is the A gap, and guess what? When that linebacker recognizes that it's run, and you go in there and you blow that damn A gap up, be it a lineman show up or be it a fullback show up, but guess what? You blow up the gap and you make that thing bounce to another gap, and hopefully you have somebody else scraping behind you. To me, you cannot, especially at the collegiate level, it's hard to get guys to play downhill in that fashion. A lot of times they'll have linemen play in their lap. But as a linebacker, when you see them anticipating things, quickly reading things and playing downhill, man, they are blowing up whoever is in the gap that they're responsible for. And I'm seeing him. He seems to be really comfortable recognizing things fast, and he is just going in there relentless and just taking care of his responsibility. It may not show up every single game, but I like the fact that he's doing what he's supposed to do. Now, I like to see Dante Sapp on his play recognition get a little faster. Now, you've been out there a few games. They're starting you in nickel defense. Now, play your gap. Play it downhill. Turn it back to the other person who's supposed to be there. Like, you know, you only have one or two gaps, man. Go in there and blow that doggone thing up. So, for me, that's to answer the question, Alex. That's what I'm seeing from him. And to me, he's taking that to the next level.
Jerry, I appreciate your positivity, man, because, you know, one thing we sort of forget in a situation like this, it's sort of like we're all sort of in this cave, and because it's just that bad right now. And thank you for bringing out the fact that there are some bright spots and some things that are going right in this it's very hard time. It's almost a loss for words sometimes that it's gone to this level.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, just as a former coach, a former scout, and a former player.
Can I ask Eric something? Eric, when you meant bright, when you said bright spots, are you talking about, like, the color of one's skin at middle linebacker, or? Jerry, are you kidding me? Jerry, are you kidding me with that? I mean, you're joking, right? So the white guy can run into the right angles and get run by.
No, he can go in there and blow his guy up, expecting that the linebacker that's supposed to be scraping behind him is supposed to clean up.
White spots, bright spots, white.
Tony, that's called run fits. If you are not going in there and blowing up your hole, you are not run fitting properly. A lot of guys, Tony, they won't sacrifice themselves and go in there when they recognize run and blow up that doggone hole, knowing that somebody else, either from your right or left, is supposed to be filling their lane. There's a lot of hesitancy. Go ahead.
Somebody just wrote that Jumper's blown up his whole season. I mean, what are you talking about? Let's go back to our phones. Jerry, you're my boy. Jerry Colquitt, the great one. And I agree with Eric. I'm glad Jerry's brought some positivity. And I'm a little bit, what do you call that thing when you get to be feeling kind of...
Stockholm Syndrome?
No.
Nigga ball.
No. I had a long drive yesterday and a long week this week. What is it? Say it.
Roached.
No. It's like the thing where you laugh at everything and... No, I'm not drunk.
John Boehner.
No, I'm not John Boehner. Let's get a malaise sober. Somebody keeps talking about a rumor about a press conference tomorrow. Good, there's a rumor. And there are grimmers, and there are rumors, and I'm just so glad there's a rumor. I'm just so glad. Let's get our next call in. I mean,
I guarantee you somewhere tomorrow there will be a press conference.
There's going to be a press conference tomorrow, and it's going to be probably for this coach at Arkansas when Alabama gets done with them. Let's get – because it looks like he stole Saban's lunch money when they were kids because Saban's paying him back tonight. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Somebody's calling Big Colton Jumper Big White.
Let's get our next call
in. What is wrong with these people, man?
Hello and welcome in to our next caller. Hello and welcome to our caller. That's you. Hello. Hello and welcome to our caller. That's you. Welcome to our caller. That's you.
How you doing?
Yeah, welcome in. Go right ahead. Yeah, welcome in. Go right ahead.
Bush Jones is terrible, man. Bush Jones is terrible, man. Can you,
I agree. Might be called tonight. I agree. Might be called tonight. That's a first-time caller, long-time listener. That's a first-time caller, long-time listener. Somebody just said.
Brief to the point. You realize if all your calls were like that, your show would last about 13 minutes. I would love to have 15 minutes. I would love to have
this season. That's less than caller speechless. That's less than caller speechless.
No question. I love... 865-200-5406. This is our next call.
What do you say, TV?
Hey, and you're on the Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello.
Hey, it's Fake Buzz.
Hey, Fake Buzz. Welcome. I hope you're better than Real Buzz was here at coaching basketball.
I do like Buzz Peterson, though. Good recruiter. Couldn't coach so.
Great recruiter.
But at least he was a good guy. Butch, I mean, guys, what are we doing? I mean, he should have been out 2 weeks ago. I mean, 41-0. He shouldn't even be coaching today. I mean, we gotta do something fast. We gotta get ahead of this coaching search. I mean, the more time we wait, the more time we're probably gonna hire a mid-major guy. We can't get a big fish. I mean, we gotta do something. I mean, this season is a wash. It's over. Who cares? 7-5, 6-6. We're gonna go to some Pac Slayer Bowl. Who gives a damn? We got to move on.
You know, I at a place where they have pride, there's no way Florida brings their coach back getting beat 41-0. Jerry, am I lying about that? If Florida has a game in their field and Georgia would go down, or we would go down there and beat them 41-0 in their stadium, and they don't get the ball past the 20-yard line, Jerry, is that in the fifth year of a coach who's never won a division, does he get to keep his job the next game? I'll help you out. The answer is no. And then at Georgia, if Tennessee would have gone down there and would have smacked them like that in year five of a guy, does he get to keep his job, Jerry?
Tony, if they're in the same situation as us, just wins and losses historically the last three to 5 years, probably. It's hard to say yes.
Well, the only place where he would get to keep his job of the Power Six jobs in this league is right here, because I don't know what we have, but it's not expectations and it's not self love, it's just not. That guy needs to be put out of his misery, and this fan base needs to be put out of their misery. And today's game would have been so much more fun.
He doesn't even want to be here. Butch doesn't want to be here anymore. He looks like he's about to explode over there. Let him go.
Yeah, he really does.
I mean, he just stumbles all over himself. Even in the press, I mean, the press conference is one thing, but on game day it's just so much worse. I mean, he just can't get out of his own way. And it's been like that since year one. You know, he's recruited well, you know, and I just haven't seen this guy, you know, since year one, you know, be, you know, the guy that everyone thought he was going to be. But, you know, I just hope our administration can finally you know, sack up and throw some money around. We're not going to get Gruden, but, you know, we can hire someone. Maybe go after Bobby Petrino. I mean, he, that Louisville stuff that's going on right now, maybe we can get him. But, I mean,
Bobby Petrino's current record this season, let me help you what that is. What is his record after today? It's 1-4 in his league.
Tony, I don't care. The guy can coach. And you know it, and I know it.
Well, too many people say that, but what is he had success down in Arkansas. How many division championships did he win down there?
Let me help you out. None.
He's had success at Louisville.
That stuff doesn't work when you play real football teams. It
doesn't. Okay, hey, no one's winning in the West besides Alabama.
Wait a second.
How many?
No,
he can win.
How does he do against Clemson?
Division.
In this league, you got to play Clemsons. How does he do against the Clemsons of the world? He doesn't. Look, Boston College beat them up today, man. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just speaking facts to you.
And here's the thing, too. They have Louisville's Josh Dobbs, which is Lamar Jackson. What happens when you take them away?
Clemson just lost to Syracuse. I mean, upsets happen. The guy can coach.
The guy has one win and, like, three losses in his league right now.
Okay, the ACC's not that bad.